Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real.
You can get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What's happening, everybody? This is Aaron Carter with the Video Game Bang. I'm sorry, I don't have a catchphrase like "What's up, pizza?" I'm working on that. I got a couple of Jewish writers. They're in the back. They're gonna be whipping up something soon.
That's terrible.
Yeah, we're gonna start right off. We got a really small, quaint show for you here today. Who do we have in the room? Let's go around the circle. To my left or right, depending on where you're sitting, we have.
Depending on where the listener's sitting?
Yeah, they're sitting everywhere. We have Corey Vincent. Say what's up, people.
Hey, what's up, pizzas?
There he is. You know the pizzas. And to my right, as here always, we have Mark Griffin.
What's going on?
So I'm going to be driving the bus today, apparently. It's a little small bus, right?
It's a short bus.
It's a short bus.
Well, No shame.
And that's good. Because I was the person that sat down and endured a three-hour torture.
Twice.
A three-hour tour.
Twice.
Now you can catch it on. And that tour was called the VGX. You know what? And I tell you the honest truth, before we even go further, the whole time I didn't figure out what the X stood for.
10.
Does it really?
Yeah, it was the 10th
I guess it makes sense.
I think I saw someone on Twitter say extreme.
That's what my first guess was.
That's what Joel McHale said.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he was like, it's the extreme stuff. In between his drunken and I didn't care rants, but we'll get to that definitely later. We've also played a little bit of the Wii U again today. We're in the weekend episode, so that means we played a game at Corey's house. Wii U.
But my wife made cookies, thank you.
She made
there
chocolate chip cookies.
Cookies. Yeah.
We ate his wife's cookies, okay. We're going hardcore here today, baby. We played hardcore Wii. We're talking about hardcore VGX. It should be a good show.
I'm ready.
So let's start off with the top. Of course, the VGX. Who all watched it here?
I waited till afterwards, and I just hit the trailers and skimmed.
I read taglines for posts about it.
So we're just getting progressively worse. Wow.
Preconception, like any notion, what did you want out of this? Because I know you've seen previous ones, right, guys?
Zero expectations.
Really, for me, it was just like we talked about the Nintendo thing. I was really hoping for a big Nintendo announcement, and we got Cranky Kong.
Yay!
Really, Cranky Kong? You're excited about that?
No. Absolutely not. I have no idea who Cranky Kong is.
Will you be buying that?
I wasn't even planning on buying Donkey Kong to begin with. I'm sorry. Donkey Kong just has kind of fallen off the interest wagon for me.
Wow.
I honestly, Mario's off the wagon too. I don't really.
Well, I mean, everybody, once you get a Nintendo system, everybody knows you got to get the top five, right? You got to get the Mario, the Zelda, the Metroid, the Donkey Kong, and the Kirby.
Yeah, well, for me, it's always just been a top three. It's just, yeah.
Donkey Kong's my favorite character to choose in the cross platform because, I don't know.
You like monkeys?
He reminds me of me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I identify with the monkey with the pointy hair.
Is it because you're hairy?
Yeah.
Okay. So they did a lot of surprises, quote unquote, there at the VGX. The biggest surprise was how bad it was.
Was that you were surprised?
Yeah, actually, because
not surprising to me.
Because you would think people would learn from previous mistakes. So the last shows, if anybody has never seen a VGA or
learn
X,
from previous mistakes, Obamacare.
Wow, how dare you? That's perfect. The last few years, they've all been like award shows, like your movie show or movie award shows and your music award show. So you have the host, who is probably some famous, funny celebrity, in front of a large crowd trying to make them laugh as he sets up each award, and then they just knock them down with other celebrities that present said award.
Just like an award show.
You would think
The Emmys or
crazy idea there.
So on this one, they had Joel McHale from Community and Talk Soup. Is it still called Talk Soup?
Just The Soup now.
Oh, excuse me. The Soup. I'm showing my age.
Get it right.
Big
get
time.
It right.
So Joel McHale and Jeff Keighley from Game Trailers and
Sonic.
Exactly.
Sonic and his gun?
This is a little.
Now, I don't know. It may just be me, but Jeff Keighley is very annoying. He seems like if you put enough money in his pockets, he'll be on any team you want him to be.
Yeah, I get that from him too. And that says that's it feels like everybody at the top echelon of video game personalities kind of has that to a degree. I get that same feeling from Greg Miller. I think you
Who's
do
Greg
too.
Miller?
He's the guy from he's the glasses guy from IGN.
Oh, yes.
The man
definitely,
boy.
Definitely. Yeah. See, I don't want to go out on the limb and just be like, oh, they're tools. They're money tools and stuff like that. They're making the money.
And
whatever.
They worked hard.
Yeah,
they definitely
did.
They kicked
did.
Ass. They hit the pavement to get where they are. But it's like when you hit the point, especially in gaming, it's just kind of...
Like, there's no more... Everything's kind of just... There's no... it doesn't look like he knows his own favorite game or not. And Joel kept... poking at him, like, what do you want to see tonight? And he just kept, well, there's Titanfall type of information. Like,
he's being PC. Oh, basically, yeah. Totally yeah. being. I mean, it's something you've got to do, I think, when you get to that point, because especially there's so few of those internet gaming personalities that get those big hosting jobs. You see Jeff Keighley on everything, you know, yeah. And he does that by staying PC. So I can't blame him for that.
They're not going to get a guy on there who's going to say, oh, yeah, that game's going to blow.
Yeah.
Average gamer.
But why not? That's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah, those personalities are out there.
Here on the Video Game Bang Show, that's what we like to keep, right? If we don't like the game, we tell you about it.
Straight up. But it's, you know.
We're also not being paid.
We're also not getting paid.
So are you saying we're going to sell out?
No, not at all.
No, I wouldn't sell out.
But I'm saying when
we'll never be Jeff Keighley.
Well, yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, I think we're not. I mean, more of like. I mean,
that's where the bar's at in our lives.
Jeff Keighley.
We're never going to be a Jeff Keighley.
There'll be a door marked Jeff Keighley, and they're like, you can walk through that door for 10 grand. You're not doing it.
10 grand?
10 grand.
That's scratch. That's nothing.
No, that's nothing?
No, not for my integrity.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
How long do I have to be Jeff Keighley?
Oh. See, that's what I'm talking about.
No. I mean, I thought Corey was going in a different direction. He says, we're never going to be Jeff Keighley. I was like, well, you mean like, you know, totally sell out or PC like that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going.
Or did you mean on the celebrity level?
Both.
Wow.
See, I have faith we'll get there eventually.
Exactly.
I mean, we're growing big.
Here on the Video Game Bang, we like to shoot for the stars.
I think it's possible, but it's like, if that's where we're at right now, are we going to be as popular as
There's
Jeff
our
Keighley?
Fearless leader.
I fearless? Feel, today Aaron Carter's running the show. How dare you? And I say that we're going to be beyond Jeff Keighley. Because in that show, now let's go back to the VGX.
Yeah.
In the show, they started off very rough. Now, I can tell they had teleprompters telling them what to say, and they were stumbling on lines. Jokes were being shot out by Mikhail, and they were just being left on the ground because there was nobody to react to them except for the studio.
So was there a studio audience?
See, there was a studio, but there wasn't a studio audience.
What?
So everybody's seen the soup in here, right?
Yeah.
And you know how he tells jokes.
And there's an audience that
And there's
laughs.
An audience that reacts.
Yeah.
He would try to imitate that, and it just didn't go over well.
People said he looked disinterested. When I first saw it, I thought he was drunk. From the small clips I've seen, there's this awesome video on YouTube if you look it up. It's VGX in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they pretty much give you the nice little low lights that just make it really accentuate how terrible it was.
They do.
Smosh seemed to like totally miss the mark.
Well, see, and that's another thing. As they were going down the night, Joel and Keighley were doing their thing. They would sprinkle in these internet celebrities. So like Smosh, they had
PewDiePie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So these people that I barely know, but I know that they're big time on the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. Like somebody else may be big fans and saw them, but they didn't kind of fit into that, I don't know, award show feeling or something like that. They just were kind of out of place.
Seems kind of small, like smaller time people for a 10th, you know, for them to change from VGA to VGX and going the whole 10th, you know, year of doing it.
And what do you guys think you need in an award show?
They went from Sam Jackson to PewDiePie.
Because like when you're watching like the Oscars and the Grammys, you see little skits and you're fine with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hit and miss, but I appreciate the attempt.
Okay, so then that's what they tried here, and would you say you appreciated the little 3 minute that you saw?
Because
you pretty much did see the whole skit.
Then no, it was pretty bad.
Poor writing, I guess. Chalk it up to poor.
Well, that was probably Smosh. Not saying they're bad, you know, but
Joel McHale's capable of so much more. His hands must have been tied in a lot of ways, and I don't think that's his field. You know, maybe give me Hardwick or something. Chris Hardwick would have been a great someone who's knowledgeable in the fields, who has a nerd reputation, because it kind of felt like Joel McHale was making jokes on at the gamer's expense.
So you think they shoehorned him into a situation?
Yeah, I think it was a paycheck, and I think he tried to save it. I think he gave it his best, but it seemed like he was just screwed. And we've been a part of situations. We've all been in those situations.
Where you just don't fit.
You just don't fit in, and you can't save it, and you just got to just watch
the train wreck.
Yeah, watch the world burn.
You know who I personally enjoy, I think would have done a great job, is Kevin Pereira. Like,
you know what? That's exactly what I was thinking.
I see Pereira once a year or whatnot.
Where?
In Vegas. Vegas. He hosts Nintendo's press conference in Vegas.
So he's done this before.
Oh, yeah. Then. So, yeah, he's an awesome host when he's there, like, just full of energy. Like,
he was on the short list.
Why, though?
I don't know why they didn't pitch choose. Good idea.
They didn't break the bank to go for a whole bunch of celebrities. They just got Joel McHale and said, go next to this Canadian guy and make it work. So why not go for somebody that's already
established,
done this? Yeah.
And established and has, experience.
And will cost you way less. Like, what do you need to see Joel McHale for?
You don't. I think the thing with the big pull with Joel McHale is they're trying to pull in the Soup and the community audiences.
But they're not gamers.
I love him on the Soup, and I love him on Community, but it just wasn't a fit.
And it wasn't a pull. It wasn't a reason for you to watch.
No, definitely not.
But I think that was maybe some of their mindsets. Like, I think that's a lot of mindset when it goes with any type of guest hosts is a lot of people watch this person, really like this. They're trending really well, blah, blah, blah. Let's get them for our show and get some of their trending.
And, I think that's the issue with the VGX and why it's out of touch is that they look at what's trending instead of, let's go deep into the underbelly of game.
What's important.
That literally on their website is what's trending. Before the show came on, they had a whole list of what's trending, and then each one, in number form, this is 100 or whatever, 1,000 or something.
They
had to
edit out the ones that say VGX sucks.
Because it was always
on Twitter.
That's how they got their host, and they were pretty stuck with them. So it was like, let's move on forward. So now we have two uncomfortable people, and they're presenting games to you. So the first one that kind of came up that was a surprise was not really a surprise, but Nintendo said it was going to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. Nintendo comes out. You got Reggie, and you got his little forgettable name partner.
Constable Reggie.
And so they go up there, and it's more awkwardness. I swear, it seemed like a high school dance or like a junior high dance where the girls are on one side and the guys are on the other side. And they don't really want to interact with each other. So Reggie comes out and he talks about this new exciting game, and then he shows Donkey Kong, and it's like that was what we had to wait for, and they've built this up. We even did a story 2 weeks ago, last week.
Yeah, talking about and yeah. wasn't your guess that it was going to be more of a hardcore game?
I did.
That's way back at E3.
The funny thing is Donkey Kong's already been announced. Like Donkey Kong was supposed to be out this month. They pushed it back to next year. So now they're talking about came out and was like, oh, this big buildup for a game that got delayed. Oh yeah, they've been showed stuff.
So they've shown stuff. So this was just no secret.
They've shown the enemies and they've shown the world and everything like that.
I'm guessing because this seemed like the theme of the night: awkward and unprepared.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
awkward was the word of the night. Yeah, I read all the articles I read, including yours, which you can read on nerdreactor.com. Awkward is like in the first sentence.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely, there's no other word. I was looking for synonyms, actually, too, for the word. Because I felt I was using it too much in the article. But unprepared, I would say, is the second thing. So I'm thinking that Nintendo probably had something else. And they pulled out at the last second. Because throughout the night, each developer would come up, and then they would kind of tell a little bit about their game. But either the game seemed like it wasn't ready, or they hadn't been working on the game, or this is not what we really wanted to show you at the moment. Previous ones, I don't remember them doing too much talking with the developers on previous shows and stuff like that. They had more celebrity skits.
Do more of that. Maybe if they did one thing right, it was with the interview for No Man's Space.
No Man's Sky?
There we go.
Wow.
I was sorry, people. I was binging while I was...
That's terrible.
Yeah, No Man's Sky. That was like a hit.
That was the only one that they showed. They showed gameplay. And they talked to the developer just a little bit about what he was doing and everything. He kind of seemed a little tired and everything like that, but, he came from London, so I can give him a slide on that.
Yeah, he looked super tired, but he was and awkward on camera, but, that's developers. And he gave us the most pertinent, I was more hyped from him just telling me about the game and his thought process than Jeff Keighley and Joel McHale telling me how great Call of Duty is going
to
be.
So then the question to me, or to you guys, that I would ask is this even necessary anymore? Because the highlight of the night wasn't any of the awards.
I honestly forgot. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm forgetting there were. I forgot there were awards.
There were small like commas within this large paragraph of mess. And so, if you just had a long 3-hour game trailers episode where they just brought on guests from different companies to tell you about their latest game and titles and show you exclusives, do we really need an award show?
We don't. And now, honestly, I was thinking about it when you guys talked, like when you said Donkey Kong had already been out there and in the world, because this is industry's blown up so big in the past 10 years that there's a bunch of people, including us, who it's basically what we do on our job. It's our job. It's our hobby. Is we just look for news. We want to know exactly when a game's being
announced. The internet spews it out so fast that it's just like
we know way ahead of time.
You're a day late. Mm-hmm. Game Informer. We were talking about that the other day. How Game Informer, a magazine still in print, kind of comes in slow with the stories. I don't know how fast they get them. Well, their writers probably get them pretty quick, but they print it out a little slower than what the internet, actually not even a little, a whole month slower than what the internet can produce.
And most of the announcements we get are actually from the people and developers. It seems seldom that things actually leak anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you get occasionally you'll see job postings. That's how we, you know, like the Star Wars open world thing. You can kind of piece things together, or maybe the registration of a domain name. But other than that,
I think those are the two main ones.
And even though that's not enough to actually like go on TV and talk about.
And honestly, I think a lot of that stuff is still done on purpose. I think a lot of those leaks, they're...
The Fallout 4 website, have you guys seen that?
I didn't go to it.
No, I've heard all... I heard that was bogus, though.
Yeah, it was a hoax.
Is it a hoax?
It's a hoax, yeah. They debunked it.
I was looking for that at the VGX, too.
Yeah.
Nothing of Fallout, nothing of Mass Effect, nothing of big titles... for next gen that I was looking for. It seemed like it was a whole bunch of stuff that I already knew was coming out.
I mean, nobody cares. Tomb Raider's coming back out again. The definitive edition. I honestly didn't see much of a difference. I think this week's South Park episode defined it best as like, you know, the Xbox One graphics are about 10% better than last generation.
And so they just seem to mirror what we've already said on the last episode about this launch. We haven't seen anything yet that says, hey, this is next gen in the games, I should say.
In fact, talking about Xbox One, the more I'm getting used to the interface, the more it just seems really stripped down.
Oh yeah.
Like the like it seems like an unfinished product in some ways, especially when me and Mark were working on trying to get into a party chat today. The party chat is a headache. And they've acknowledged that it sucks and that they're going to fix it. But it's really awful.
So basically,
please go.
So yeah, so I was playing Rise and Corey was playing 2K or whatnot. So I sent him a party invite so that we could play Rise together, and do some of the co-op. So I go, you know, use the voice command. Snap brings up the party while I'm playing. So you know, nonstop, keep going. I tell it to send a party invite. Sends him a party invite. The screen goes in. I have to go down and physically click to turn party chat on.
Yeah, it like, doesn't just
so they disable it.
Yeah, so like it, you will be in a party, but we won't be able to talk unless we both go and turn on party chat.
That's extremely stupid.
Yeah, that's dumb. I had to stop what I was doing.
So why haven't we just copied and pasted Microsoft? I mean,
exactly. That's what we said earlier. Like, what? Why did they change anything from the previous party session?
It's got to be one guy in the meeting. Let's change up this whole thing and make them relearn it all over again.
That was the one thing that definitely wasn't broke, so don't try and fix it.
Well, I wouldn't say not completely broke. You know, not broke. But the only issue I ever had with the original 360 party chat was the fact that, you know, we'd be all be playing, you know, seven or eight of us in the room playing Call of Duty, and then one of us would get kicked out of the room.
Definitely, yeah.
That's
I mean interface, but you could always improve, because the voice quality was improved. Mm-hmm. I think it was just the new headset is cheap. It seems even cheaper than the last one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Definitely feels cheaper, and then the volume only goes up so high. I like the controls for when you plug it in. It plugs in there really sturdy, and then they feel like extensions to the controller. The mute button and the volume up and down.
That's cool.
Yeah, real easy to use right on the fly without having to look down and fiddle with your controller to figure something out.
Yeah, so you know, following the cable down to find that little thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge plus. You don't have to take your hands off the controller to mute your mic, you know.
And no drops?
We didn't have a drop.
You guys didn't have a drop?
No.
That's probably
the sound quality was good. It's got like some muting thing on it too, so you don't hear room noise. Just when Mark would talk, he'd talk, and then it would just go.
Yeah, it mutes all the background silent. Noise, which is nice.
I like that. That's definitely
some
necessary.
Sort of roll off.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So the internet connection, I'm guessing, has a lot to do with you dropping and stuff like that, right?
I think it's mostly servers and your own internet connection probably, but I mean, it could be a little bit on their side.
Tie back this all around to the VGA or VGX, whatever you want to call it. The whole thing seemed to be broadcast only online. Did any of you guys see any broadcast on the television?
No, but then again, I didn't look.
I don't pay for cable.
Okay.
I refuse.
So as you feel,
cable is a jip.
Wow. Yeah.
It is these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, nonetheless, this is a show that's supposed to bring gaming to the biggest media so far, I guess, is, you know, television, right? That's still the king of it all, right?
I don't think television's the king anymore. I think the internet and the computers have taken over.
But see, this is the thing. Internet has probably more people on it than TV watching, but it's more people on different things as opposed to everybody watching Arrow, everybody watching Dawson's Creek, which has probably been off for, you know, decades.
But everybody DVRs now anyways.
And everybody also DVRs as well. So do they even have a way to track that?
You know, I think it does hurt ratings for TV shows if you DVR it.
If you DVR it, it just hurts it all together.
I think so.
They've got a way to start tracking that because then you can at least say, hey, 500,000 people DVR'd, you know, my show for this week. But anyway, I didn't see any type of broadcasting for the VGX on TV, but I saw different mediums like Hulu and Xbox. Everything was all streaming it. 3 hours, no commercials, you know, no censors. So they were fully able to curse and, you know.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Was it Tyler, the Creator?
It was definitely Tyler, the Creator. Him and his group, they just threw so much gasoline on that fire already because they were so awkward and just weird. They would say, like, the most random things. And I'm guessing that they had a teleprompter in front of them as well. But it's just like, and there was no purpose. Like, literally, there was no purpose for them to be there. Jeff Keighley and, you know, Mikhail could have done all the intros for everybody. They didn't need them out there. There was no purpose for, okay, here's another question. When you're watching like the Grammys, do you really watch it for the performances as well?
Actually, yeah.
The performances
are
nice.
That's probably
one
of the only reasons I do watch it. I don't care about the awards. Award shows in general just always seem arbitrary.
I agree with that.
I mean, it's necessary because these people do work hard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, definitely. They need to
but
be shown
that recognition.
But
you're actually watching for the extras, right?
It's weird because there's like this thing. When you leave it to the critics, they always choose like some stupid movie you've never heard of, but was probably really artistic. And then you do People Choice Awards, Justin Bieber wins everything.
Because it's the people.
Yeah.
And there's another thing for the VGX. When I was looking on online, they had the categories that we voted for. I guess you can say we. I didn't vote for anything.
No, I didn't.
Anybody?
Yeah. Nope.
Did you guys go any detail on the spike or whatever?
No.
All right. So they so they had the people that we got to vote for, and then they had the people from Kotaku, IGN, Giant Bomb, you know, reputable website sources. I didn't get to see Nerd Reactor. What's going on, Wynn?
I don't know. They were falling. I don't know.
Wynn, you gotta put some
next year.
Oh no, yeah, you gotta put some authority down there.
They'll give us like a little 2 minute stupid thing to do. Hopefully,
yeah. There we go.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But I don't know. Everything just seemed kind of with the whole night, just seemed kind of unprepared. I don't know. And then it just made me question at the end of it: was this really necessary? Did you guys feel like you need?
Totally not necessary.
I think the big thing for me is rewards. Yeah, they're nice, and awards or whatever, they're nice for the developers and it's kind of like a notch in their belt or whatever.
Nod, yeah.
But I mean, for me as a, you know, for them trying to get to the hardcore audience and show all this new stuff or whatever, I already know what I like for the most part. I mean, it takes some major convincing to change me, especially when it comes to like award ceremonies and like they give Game of the Year to, you know, Call of Duty or whatever every year. I'm like, Call of Duty's not doing anything innovative, nothing new and stuff like that. I don't know who won the award. I didn't.
It's GTA
5.
GTA 5.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Aaron?
For Game of the Year?
Oh, heck yeah. Wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
I honestly don't.
Last of Us.
Who is it?
I still have to give it to Last of Us. I think that GTA it raised the bar for Grand Theft Auto standards, but
wow,
it really didn't.
For Grand Theft Auto standards? You're not even going to say for gaming standards in general?
I don't.
Online world that you can free roam around
the attention
with.
Attention to detail just in the you can tell the development team with interaction with the community.
Yeah.
Rockstar is awesome.
I mean, it was by far their best Grand Theft Auto they've ever made. That is without a doubt.
And they've opened it up as well to where they can add stuff all day. And
Here's my argument against changing. Last of Us. Last of Us is, from what I hear, a tremendous game, and I'm not going to say it's not. One thing, it's not a deal breaker, but when any other year, it could have won. This year, it's going up against GTA 5, which was available on both platforms.
Yeah.
Sold gangbusters.
No,
one of the best-selling games. It crossed over from video games into... got
sales.
Mainstream media attention. It was a skit on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a cultural impact of one video game. To me, says game of the year. It wasn't gameplay of the year. It wasn't story of the year. It was game of the year. And when you look at it that way...
So you're looking at it as a whole as opposed to one little small aspect
as
of
that,
of it.
I could give it to that because for how much it... Grand Theft Auto 5 did touch. I'd agree with you on that.
Because you can probably see Last of Us and be like, that's a
gameplay,
hands down better
story,
than
everything
than
else
Grand Theft
involved.
Auto.
I'd say, you know, individual parts of Last of Us, every individual part of Last of Us just beat the tail out
because
of
because the
Grand
soundtrack
Theft Auto.
For Grand Theft Auto was pretty good. It was good enough for them to warrant to try to add a concert at the end of the VGX.
Yeah, they've had a great record of amazing soundtracks.
Yeah, they
you
always
don't even
have
to like
one.
The game to just... at least be able to have a favorite radio
and
station.
It's not even I don't think it's that hard for the sound department because they just pick nope. Oh, what's my favorite song, let's license that.
Yep, pretty yeah. much
and
yeah.
I mean that's what they did, and so at the VGX they try to recreate that for the small audience that they had, and that just ended the night on a kind of a down note, like yeah, okay, this is cool, I got the music, but I'm not at this concert. You know, who's ever watched a concert from their couch? And not even from the couch because it wasn't on TV. So from their laptop chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't good. The overall experience though was we don't need one next year.
No, I'd be perfectly fine if they said we're not going to do one next year. Yeah. I'd rather have some other a new conference or something, or a straight just web only conference that goes on where just like kind of like to hold me over to the next E3 or something.
Well, I mean, they have a lot of those now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's GameCon.
That's true.
BlizzCon.
There's BlizzCon. Well,
GameStop has their own
GameStop
con
now
whatever,
does, yeah. So, and I think as we move forward, there's going to be more and more. The only thing is, when does it get to TV?
I don't know if it needs
it. Why, it that's the masses right there, right?
The thing is, though, I think the masses that watch TV aren't the same masses that, you know, care about video games. You know, I'd much rather always play games than sit there and watch TV.
You know
I think
why?
We forget too that there is a huge majority of people that don't care about the game until it comes out.
That's true.
Yep.
And I think I wrote another article on nerdreactor.com. It was the four things I wanted to see from the VGX, and one of the things that I put down was more interactive. I think there's a disconnect from your gamer and then your television watcher. Television watcher sits and has it happen to them. Video game player plays and affects what's, you know, going on. If there's a gamer that's trying to just sit and let something happen, they're like, well, when do I pick up a controller and press A or something?
So you want some, like, American Idol voting added
gotta
into
be,
it?
There's got to be something that connects me with that world. Because there's just too much of a big disconnect for me to even get involved into it.
You press know, A if you want Joel McHale to slap Jeff Keighley
exactly.
in the face.
Exactly. You know how many A buttons we pressed at that time?
You know it's pretty cool I've seen done is at a conference I went to, they had each of the groups were split into different sections, four different sections, and they'd have fighting games playing. And then basically the fighting games are, you know, controlled by whoever, whatever. It doesn't matter who's controlling them. But the winner is decided by whoever voted most in that section.
Yeah.
So it'd be Scorpion versus, you know, Sub-Zero, but, you know, regardless of, or you could put it, you know, who's the crappiest Mortal Kombat character? You know, who would you say? Noob, Saibot?
Probably Sonya.
Noob, Saibot?
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
broken
as
hell.
Broken as hell. Yeah.
Okay, okay, well, let's put Noob, Saibot versus, you know, Sonya.
Sonya.
Yeah, you know, and, it, you know, if there's more people in that part of the country for Sonya that voted, Sony would win. You
know, leave it up to
people. You know, that kind of, you know,
little tiny things like that.
I mean, it's just an, it's an idea. It's
but
a,
all that stuff is for us. That's why I say it needs
weird?
To be more interactive.
Have you guys tried a second screen experience yet?
Second
like,
screen?
Walking Dead on AMC has like a AMC Walking Dead app that you can like, you sync basically with what you're watching. And like when one of the characters finds a necklace, they'll be like, oh, do you remember when this necklace was dropped in episode 5? And then you can vote on things.
No, not yet, but I like that.
It's extremely distracting.
Well,
it is very hard to watch TV and sit there and stare at your tablet and go back and forth. Like,
but
I love the
idea. Is good.
And maybe I'm just, I'm not a Mark Tower.
I may be aging myself.
8 million things at once.
Again, but do you remember Smell-O-Vision?
Oh, God. Wow.
No, nobody remembers. It was similar to the same thing. Something happened on the TV, and they'd be like, hey, scratch number one to smell what Bart Simpson is smelling right now.
I remember
and then
that.
You would smell and be like, oh, my God, that's terrible. Bart, why are you smelling? Yeah, it's the same thing. It's interaction. How much time we got running here?
We're good.
Oh, we're good? Okay. The interaction is definitely important. Once that's, you know, integrated with us gamers, I think a lot more people will switch back to TV. We've lost all space on TV. And do you guys even want it, though? Because I know both of you two already DVR a lot of stuff, right?
I just only watch
TV. Only DVR?
I only stream online.
And then you, yeah, you have no...
I watch sports. Sports is like the only thing I watch live.
Yeah.
And they had something, didn't they have something one time where it was interactive with sports?
I don't know. I know that that Xbox and their deal with NFL is supposed to bring some kind of augmented reality or some sort of
I know it has like the stat tracking
special
and
things
and
that'll stuff. Like pop up on the screen.
Say you're watching Dallas play and you have your tablet in your hand and this would never happen, but they give you a playbook.
Garrett's like, what should I do?
Exactly. And the country is voting. And he can either look to the country or pick from his own playbook, of course. And then he just once, you know, one time just looks over and he sees, hey, Corey from Sacramento said, you know.
That's interesting.
That would be really cool, like just in like an extra game out of the year. Just doing something like that.
Well,
like,
what's interesting, too, is, dude, I'm going to space on it. But what's that thing with like the collective knowledge of people always being right? You know, like on
like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type of thing?
I think that used the principle of like the ask the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I cannot remember. Someone tweeted
to us.
Was it
a theory or something?
Yeah,
like
there's
that?
This theory of like crowd knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that would be really interesting to let like America coach a team.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let us call every single play and just see what happens.
Do a, like a player's bowl or, you know, like something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at the end of the season.
That'd be a very interesting.
America's bowl.
That'd be an experiment just to see, like, if you have like a million people and just go with whatever play the people think.
Yeah. But I think that's the future. The 3D TV and everything like that, that'll probably get swiped under the rug. High def is always going to get better and better and better. But I think real true interaction, I mean, tablets are becoming
more commonplace.
Yeah, more commonplace. Like, so I think that's the next step is to interact with the people outside of your shows and stuff like that.
I feel
that.
Like such a technology dick sometimes because I go back to the times when I used to work at work. Well, I work currently, but when I used, when I was at work and we had a full tower PC, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this is inconvenient. I wish I had a laptop because mm-hmm. then I can move to the other side of the building and work.
Yeah. Yep.
And I get my laptop and every once in a while I'll move it to the other side of the building and work. But then I'm like, this is hard. I need a tablet now.
Wow. So, now you're going to be like, this is difficult. I need my watch just to move around.
What's a watch?
Need my Google glasses.
That's going to be awesome whenever that gets out and average on everybody else.
I think the biggest draw for Google glasses for me is that there's just so many moments that pass by so fast in life that you can't capture. But if I had the glasses on my face and I could just take a picture of that ugly ass car on the side of the road or somebody's just retarded buckwheat looking hair that I saw at the Kings game, like it would just
some
be
some chick's cleavage or something. Yeah, it's
just
exactly.
Hold that. You're gonna see a whole bunch of
that's
shots.
That's all
like
it's
that.
Gonna be.
Yeah. It's the internet. It's the whole argument.
And we've been talking about
week.
That too. Just the evil. See, there's the crowd knowledge, and then there's just like crowd evilness.
But we got to see all that stuff, you know, and then we'll deal with that. That's
not going
of crap
anywhere.
Later. Yeah, no, definitely. We have totally skipped past VGA talk.
And well, we've been really hitting the negatives.
Yeah, we hit all the negatives. Now that's what I was going to allude to, the positives. What games that, because you guys saw some of the trailers for the games. We had the Donkey Kong. We had
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. We had Tom Clancy's
Division. Dying Light.
You mean Dead Island 2? Yeah.
Didn't they do a Dead Island 2 already? Riptide?
Riptide.
Yeah, Riptide, kind of an expansion, maybe?
Yeah, it was an expansion, not a full 2. They came out and said, full out said, this is not Dead Island 2. This is just a continuation of
What are you guys excited for, though, if anything, from these games?
Excited for Tomb Raider.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think the people that made Tomb Raider are excited for Tomb Raider.
No, honestly, I think Square's relaunching it just to get those extra sales because they consider Tomb Raider at launch for PS3 and 360 a failure because it didn't move enough units in that first 2-3 weeks or a month, whatever their quota time is. They consider it a failure. So they're like, hey, we can do a simple HD touch-up and sell another couple 100,000 units and salvage some. I mean, and they already said they're making a Tomb Raider 2. They already announced that that's coming, which I'm excited for. I love the Tomb Raider game was great.
South Park. What do you got, Corey? What are you excited for?
I like the Snowdrop engine. I was pretty impressed by that. Seriously.
You watched it twice.
I watched it twice. I think that is like where next gen's going to begin.
So, so for maybe anybody who didn't pay attention to the Awkward Awards, what was Snowdrop? What was big for Snowdrop for you?
Snowdrop for me, like what really set it off was when he was shooting bullet holes through that sign, and then the light was shining.
So you like the light special effects?
Yeah, no,
much?
just the engine itself. I'm gonna get the Division, just because it looks fun.
Yeah.
And it's multiplayer, and that's basically what
that's
we do.
That's what, yeah.
And but just seeing like I told the guys this too. Like I've never had a fully automatic submachine gun and walked towards a vehicle and shot the hell out of it in real life, but I feel like if I did, it would be like what I saw in that trailer.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, like just the way the car was shaking a little bit and the holes, it was...
Until you buy a gun and you realize it's nothing like that at all.
That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get a gun.
You're going to shoot the side of a police car. We do not condone shooting police here on the video game
bang. We do not condone shooting anybody in real life in
yes,
the video
at
game
all.
Bang.
Definitely. Now, see,
keep
there
it
was,
digital.
There was also Tim Schafer's game. Now, I don't know how familiar...
What was that? Broken Life?
Broken Arrow? Broken
Panel?
Broken Sword?
Broken.
But it made $3 million from a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Schafer, even though he's a developer and he's developed on the big boy systems, he's one that I'll actually give a pass to because he's kind of the underdog in a lot of this stuff. Well, his games are awesome.
His games are great.
Yeah,
they always... Oh, go ahead.
Have you played any of them, Corey?
You're broken, Googling. Broken Age.
Broken Age?
I was trying to find that title.
Oh, okay. Have you played any of Tim Schafer's games?
What are some of them?
Brutal Legends?
Psychonauts? Stacking?
Brutal Legend? Yeah,
yeah.
Jack Black.
Yeah,
that'd be
Jack
the
Black.
One he'd play.
That's Tim Schafer. What'd you think about that game?
It was good.
Good? See,
yeah. It didn't hold my attention through the whole game. It was.
I've heard that towards the end it kind of goes to strategy.
Yeah, the story was really funny and it was good writing. And then you kind of hit a point where
that first time you have to do the strategy battle.
Yeah,
as soon as I got to that, I was done. I quit.
That's what it was.
I was done. It was an unneeded element in the game. And it was poorly.
Exactly.
It just wasn't. It didn't show off of the game because the rest of the game is, you know, action and hack and slash and upgrading your car and, you know, doing side quests and stuff. And then you get to this RTS on a console, which isn't done. It's hard to do it in the first place, and for them to just try to add it on top of everything else they're already doing in the game,
yeah.
Like it was.
So this new one, because Mark, you can attest to this.
Uh-huh.
Tim Schafer does pretty good job with stories.
No, his stories are great.
You know, Psychonauts was pretty awesome for the story and everything like that. And this new one, this Broken Age one, looks like it's going to be a very story driven game. But do you think that it's going to get any type of light like any of the
nope.
other games?
No.
And that's, I think, to me, that's sad.
I agree. I think that's kind of the hand Tim Schafer's been dealt in this life for game developing.
Yeah.
Is he's got such great talent, but nobody gives him that. You know, the mass audience doesn't see the appeal of it. It's that niche audience like us that appreciate true quality in games. I think the real big thing that Tim Schafer really just needs, I think he needs a license. He needs a licensing right. He needs to get licensed on a big name thing, kind of like Telltale Games. I mean, they'd made 6, 7, 8 games before they did Walking Dead.
They're about to make 6, 7, 8 more.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Walking Dead, Telltale just announced they're doing a new Borderlands. They're doing a Game of Thrones type of game.
Yeah, one is...
But, I mean, I'm not a big Game of Thrones fan. I'm probably not going to play it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm behind.
That's archaic, like, almost.
I kind of liked Aaron's analysis of the Game of Thrones, though.
It was spot on, was it not?
It was definitely spot on how they seemed like the developers had no idea what they were going to do with the Game of Thrones. All they know is that they got a contract to do a Game of Thrones game.
And
they,
you know,
they couldn't
how
pin down any details whatsoever.
Yeah, that, you know how that's bad is when somebody that's not really immersed in the gaming world or in the development world, like Joel McHale, can kind of tell that when he's doing the interview with these two guys on the couch, you
that
know,
that's pretty bad.
And so they're very transparent. The whole interview was like, we can tell you guys really have not touched a keyboard to even write a bit of code on this game.
Well,
so let's stop it.
Though, to be fair, you know, Telltale, they've got a lot on their plates right now.
Oh yeah, they do. But that's whose fault is that? It's Telltale.
Well, but
that's good problem.
But yeah. I mean, that's a good problem to have. But you know, I can also see it as Game of Thrones is probably their last project they're working on right now. It's mainly because they've got Walking Dead season 2 coming out, which is their biggest license. They're making most of their money off of now.
Yeah.
So that's where their mindset's at right now. They're doing that. They've got the Fables that they're doing on, which is amazing. And then, you know, they just added Borderlands and Game of Thrones. I'm sure the only reason why they've probably got more stuff on Borderlands is because, you know, it's more gaming oriented already.
Yeah.
So they probably, you know, and you know, I'm sure Anthony Birch probably helped them out with like the trailer or you know, the story, whatever they wanted to do.
I hope he didn't. I'm sorry.
You don't like Anthony Birch because
he killed Roland.
He killed Roland. And he killed. Yeah, he killed him, Aaron's digital persona. And
he's got to talk to me on that one.
Thankfully,
Anthony Birch, we need to discuss your reasoning for killing one of the main lead black characters in a game,
and then replacing him with a nice chiseled chin white guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay with your decisions. I'm okay with your decisions.
So what? Telltale Games, like you said, alluded to earlier, they announced during the VGX that they're going to be doing another Borderlands. They're doing, of course, the Game of Thrones and then whatever other projects. Mm-hmm. What big licenses do you want to see them pick up? Wait, first of all, did you guys both play the Walking Dead one?
Yeah.
Episode 1.
Okay, so you know the feel of how they roll.
Yeah.
All right, so now what big license would you want to see Telltale slap their nice seal of approval on?
That is a good question, sir.
I'm thinking Mario.
I'd almost like to see something Marvel.
Ooh.
Comics, I mean, kind of already lend themselves really well to that kind of interactive.
If done well, yes.
I could see, you know, them taking maybe a semi-obscure Marvel hero and giving him, take Arrow, making an Arrow.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
He's not obscure anymore.
Not
now.
Anymore, but.
And he's not Marvel.
Well, okay. I'm sorry.
Get the fuck out of here.
So Hawkeye, you want
Hawkeye.
To
Hawkeye. Yes, we're going to Hawkeye.
Telltale.
No, I know.
Where are you
coming
from?
Okay, DC. A DC hero.
Where are you
then?
Coming from?
Arrow.
He's already taken the comic book. Is there any other?
I don't know. It lends itself to like a thriller or something like more investigative.
So we put movies on this bad boy?
I'd say Nancy Drew.
Huh? Yeah, you know what? Tell you the God honest truth.
Or Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, there you go. You redeemed yourself.
There you go.
You had to switch it up at the last minute.
Good save.
Yeah, they can do. They seem right now to not be able to do any wrong. I haven't played that Wolf Among Us, but I've heard it's, you know, getting decent reviews, and that's Telltale, right?
Yeah, that's the Fables Wolf Among Us.
I think the way they do it too, it's they could if they do it right, and they could choose honestly Nancy Drew. If Telltale were to go throw themselves at a Nancy Drew type character or something that like my wife or people's girlfriends would listen to or watch, I could easily see them getting into a game like that. Like a gateway game.
No, definitely.
And put it right on the Wii, right?
Throw it right on the Wii.
Which we got to play a little more.
Telltale Games, do they have any
Wii
of their
games
on iPad or anything?
The Walking Dead is.
The Walking Dead is
Walking
an iPad
Dead's
game?
On, yeah, it's on iPad.
You think that'd be a transition for those non...
for sure.
If I was trying to convince Elizabeth into one and they had a Hunger Games one, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's another license. They're probably... You know what? We're probably giving them way too much information now. Getting no residuals for it right now.
We need to...
They're sitting and listening. Oh, Hunger Games, huh? Marvel? Yeah. Arrow is
a... It's really a good idea to get, like, cross... Not cross-platform, but cross-genre or cross-medium.
Uh-huh.
Because
you can use books, movies, TV shows that you're into, and you can... Everybody wants to interact. When I'm watching Prison Break back in the day, or Game of Thrones, is perfect. Mm-hmm. I love the Game of Thrones world. I can go into theories with my friends at work all the time. It's around the water cooler. That's what we talk about. And
Has a water cooler?
Actually, who's, yeah, we do.
Who doesn't now?
Well, mine.
Wow. That's it. The coffee machine. Yeah. But, you know, to actually be able to interact in that world is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, I agree.
It's just one way to get you deeper into their story. Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's a big thing we were just talking about, you know, interactivity. You know,
exactly.
That's what we want.
If I had to choose anyone, and it's probably going to sound very cliche since we played it earlier today, but I also put it in my article. I'm a big fan. I would want to see a Mass Effect. I think that universe is big enough, and there's storytellers collaborating with Telltale. I think that
don't you get that in a Mass Effect game just with awesome shooting and
you
action
do?
Gameplay?
You do. You already do.
You'd want to play a watered but, because basically at that rate, it's almost a watered down version.
But I'm thinking more of it as a side story that would get you extra stuff for your main story.
It's like a mobile companion.
Okay. That's what I'm
like
looking
that.
For. And then also, because you guys didn't even get to see the ending and how horrible it is for Mass Effect, somebody needs to save it and rewrite that ending. And I think Telltale could probably do that and redeem the whole series. But turn around, because I actually have no how much time do we have left?
We're good.
Because we're not going breaks, right? We're just driving this bus right on through.
This bus is going straight to
Grandma's
house.
All
right,
then. So let's switch it up now. VGX and all in all.
Wait,
awkward.
Can I just say one more thing?
Go ahead.
No Man's Sky.
Yes.
It's going to be freaking amazing.
We didn't
need
even touch
it.
Yeah, that's definitely.
It's Minecraft, but
well,
everything I've
well,
wanted Minecraft to be.
Hold that back, because we saw no crafting. He didn't kind of even allude to crafting yet. He did say combat and space combat.
I'm sure if we go back and dissect it, we can get some more out of it. Because it was just him playing. We were just watching like alpha footage or, you know, we were just seeing. So you could see health bars. You can see.
You see ammo.
You can see
your
there's
HUD,
an ammo
your
system.
General HUD, basically.
General HUD.
Something
okay.
that I noticed as well, because it was seamless, you know, well, as much as we could see seamless, ground to space travel.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It looked mm-hmm. like they had, what do you call it when you go extremely fast? Jumping?
Light speed.
Light speed. It looked like that's what he did at the end of the trailer. It looked like destructible. I want to say destructible environments because he shot the asteroid and then flew through
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I want to tell everybody, too. So, drawing the comparison to take it different than Minecraft, it appears that this game is going to be only online. So you can't just create your own world. But on the flip side of that, the world is as big as you want to travel.
And it seemed like it's just, because there's a universe after universe.
Yeah,
that you're
what's that called when it generates as you're going through?
Procedurally.
Procedurally, graphically. That's crazy. So the world is basically, if you don't know what that means, as you're traveling through the world, it's generating it as you're moving.
I want to know how far that I understand this is still very, very early in the game.
Oh, now we're going to get into existentialism here.
But how far? Yeah, is it just infinite space?
That,
no, because
how
that just makes somebody crazy. That's what that would do. But
you
yeah.
think that, now we're going to turn into the Joe Rogan experience.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even want to get into it. Does the universe end somewhere?
I
imagine.
Is there
it has
a wall?
So then, what's beyond that wall, Mark? Exactly, dead air.
They just close it off with black holes everywhere.
So, are you saying the universe is procedurally generated?
We need some pot. We need some pot right now, Mark. I know you guys.
Let's bring it.
Wow.
No, let's bring it back around to No Man's Sky.
You're the lighter skinned, and I know.
Wow.
Yeah, it would be racist if I accused Aaron.
That's terrible.
I think you'd be the closest one to holding Mr. Jägermeister.
It's an MMO.
Mr. Mimosa.
Hey, those are some good-ass mimosas.
I don't even know where we've gone so far now.
Aaron doesn't drink.
It's an MMO, so that means we're going to have a lot of people playing online, and the world that they said they've set up here is set up for that. So, mm-hmm. you know, are we ready for space travel now that we've stayed on Earth and built all these cube-looking things?
I am.
And what are we looking for from this? I mean, we're excited for it, but what are we really looking for from this game?
I'm looking forward to playing with you guys, getting a group of friends, and exploring a new planet. Because each planet's going to be unique from what he said. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have different creatures. They're going to have different weather patterns.
Yeah.
So like in Minecraft, you know, if you walk, it'll say, oh, I'm going to generate snow here. And then I walk this way, it's going to be a desert here. I think we're going to get more variation. So this might be like a Hoth-type planet with acid rain every couple days or something. Or this one has giant snake beasts that are going to come out of the ground.
That's one thing he did say. You're not always on the top of the food chain, whatever planet you go to.
So I think like I want to find get my friends, go find a good planet that's habitable, make it habitable.
Make it habitable.
Or if we can, and then start venturing out from there for supplies. It just seems like maybe try and conquer, steal from other people.
No, I mean getting our normal Xbox Live party together. You know, we usually have eight of us in a party, and then there's usually two or three that can't get into the party.
Yeah.
So
what are we looking for, Mark?
Honestly, I want to see innovation. I want to see something new that you haven't seen in these open world exploration type games. I want to see something different. One idea, just kind of throwing it out there, you know, I want to see, you know, go into different worlds, and maybe it doesn't apply to this game, but like different rules on these different worlds where different things react differently because you're on this different planet.
Gravity
is, you know, that's a real obvious thing, but I mean, maybe, you know, fire doesn't burn you or something on this world for some strange reason or whatever, you know, just kind of inverses the, you know, the laws of physics and other types of things, those type of, cool things.
That'd be awesome. Like, the really rare berries or a potion or
berries. Yeah.
Like, and then you find someone in your galaxy or, you know, who comes to your planet with, like, hey, I got some
rare berries.
I got some berries.
Let you breathe
from,
underwater.
Goomshi Glock. Wow. And,
so you're not naming the planets whenever we get. But then we get online, Corey does not name the planets.
No, he is not allowed to host.
A million denarii.
Except from Goomly Glock. Like, where's Goomly Glock at in the Schlamlin star system?
Someone else isn't helping.
So what about characters, though? So we've talked about what we're going to be involved, but like I'm thinking Oblivion.
He said it's going to be first person. It's only first person, he said.
So it was Oblivion, our Elder Scrolls series. Like, you know how some characters are immune to poison.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about that.
I went to your planet, Mark, that has the fire that doesn't hurt me, but it actually
will burn the crap out of you.
It'll burn because my race is different from yours.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. Like, I like the
aspect of that.
For something
like that, too, or no?
I'd be more interested in sticking with the Minecraft type deal and just doing like user created skins if you want to do, or just.
But that's, I'm talking about traits. Bump all the skins.
Oh,
I'm talking about alien race traits. Your character can breathe underwater, and you just happen to inhabit a planet that's all water.
Mm-hmm.
My character is just a regular person. I come to your planet, and I'm trying to take over your stuff. It's kind of difficult for me because I have to breathe.
You got to go find those rare berries.
Hey, I got to go find those.
You must have read my mind because the berries do let you breathe underwater.
Well, there you go.
See,
and I'm looking for stuff like now. If you mix that innovation with your personal character, with the innovation of a universe, I don't even know where you go from after that. That's just like the epitome of games.
You know what I want to see now, just talking about that, where, you know, you have these different planets and different things. I want to see, like, a Marvel universe where each character kind of like Green Lantern has, you know, the Green Lanterns all have their planet that they live on. Planets, and, you know. The planets where they all group on, and then they
each. That's also DC, not Marvel.
You know what I mean.
Oh, my gosh, Mark. Swinging a miss.
I am drunk. I'm going to go home. I'm drunk.
Yeah, that's skin.
but it's same kind of idea that superheroes or whatnot, and you have DC, you have a whole planet of everybody who has the same, all Flash, you know, everybody's superpower, you know, all these different, I'm just going to use DC for tonight. That's all that's on my mind, apparently.
He's DC, everybody has Quicksilver's power.
But I mean, like, think about it that. I mean, if we take it to another level, we go, you know, DC Universe online, they upgrade it to where you can go to all the different planets for all the different type of DC.
I think the fact that they're going out beyond one planet is amazing.
I agree.
I'm so happy this game is going to exist.
Yeah.
So, like, this is new. This is refreshing. This is, like, what
this is
to
next
happen.
Gen, I think.
And it's indie.
And it's going to be on a console, right?
And it's only four people making it.
That's the crazy part. Four people were. They must have been started this project in 1992.
Four Brits. They're from England, yeah. They've done a game before. They did the Joe Danger, which I never got to play.
Well, the first one, I think, was only on PlayStation. That's probably why. And then the second one, they know, came over to 360, Joe Danger 2.
So they're familiar with the whole console space.
With making games, yeah.
And that's good. I like that. It's not like it's a PC developer coming over and trying to, you know, do something. So, and then what's exciting is that it's a console game, you know?
Yeah.
Usually hear about this thing a PC first or something. Like, oh, we're thinking about console. But now, you know, we got this a console game that they say is going to be hardcore for us. So, you know.
I don't think I talked to you guys about this pre-show. And no. Since we're talking about consoles and PCs, I think it's worth mentioning. Twitter exploded this week.
Not just Twitter.
I saw the message. Yeah, nope.
There were messages on SoundCloud. Like, the gamer community took what we had to say to extreme offense and replied.
Did you have? You should have queued some up before the show or something like that. That's what should have happened.
I didn't get you know some, for sure.
Work on for, that real for, quick.
I mean, well, right there a little bit on that before we bounce back and forth. Uh-huh. One of the big things I wanted to throw at you guys, because, you know, I'm the PC. I'm the only person here who does PC gaming between the three of us.
Well, I don't know if that's fair. I
What do you play regularly on PC?
Would you call myself
today,
on a PC?
Nothing. But
regularly. I didn't ask today.
He used to play Minecraft.
I played a lot of Minecraft.
Okay. Hours and hours.
A lot of Dragon Age.
Okay. Yeah.
Skyrim. Right. I never played Skyrim on a console.
Okay.
Before that, it was...
Did you... You didn't do Mass Effect on... Was Mass Effect even on PC, part one?
No, I think 3 was the only one they put on PC, okay. I think, if okay. I remember.
When I got the job, one of the jobs I had before was like an overnight shift, and so I knew like I had to get a laptop. And so when I did, I got an Asus G-Series, one that I knew could handle productivity for editing videos, but I got one that had the NVIDIA GT... Actually, I can look at it.
It's like it's right next to me.
Yeah, the GeForce...
Well,
260M, so I could play games. I can't do nothing on ultra settings, whatever they like to
say. Okay. Well, I mean, basically, the only point I was just basically putting out is the chipset and stuff they put in our consoles, our next-gen home consoles, it's PC parts.
Yeah.
We're literally playing PCs that are just streamlined for narrow-minded audiences for the consoles.
Wow.
I don't want to say narrow-minded, but
well,
like, I did. But I mean,
did.
That kind of it narrows down your options. You know, there's more variety than the last generation.
I would like to say it makes it more convenient.
That's all consoles are.
Yeah, it's all convenience. And I think that's, to me, where the console war, where the consoles and the console war win, is the convenience.
The thing about PC and... it was kind of misconstrued. We went off on a tangent.
Did we see anything? Because you were pulling it up. No. Did we see? Did we get anything from the Twitters?
I was being extremely critical. Most of it was in jest because we had
No,
I still believe that consoles are the way to go.
Okay.
And that they come up with ways to say it's cheaper to have it because Steam goes on sale all the time. And there's merits to that. But just the... I'm one of those guys I'm obsessive. If I start doing PC gaming and really want to get hardcore about it, not just like on a laptop, but I build a game machine, I'm going to be one of those guys who's spending $800 on a damn card all the time.
That's usually what the PC gamers are.
A lot of them are.
Would you say you prefer the PC, Mark, because of it's more open than a console would be? You got your mods, you know, download from any.
Yeah,
so just,
I like my options where I can do whatever the hell I want.
But
like,
see, this
is
where...
almost no restrictions.
It's kind of contradictory because as open as the PC is, there's so many exclusives on consoles.
Oh, no, I agree. And that's why I buy my consoles. I buy my consoles for my exclusives.
I think that's where the money's at. And one of the guys mentioned something about like graphics because I was mentioning graphics are marginally better on a PC than a console.
Marginally, like right now.
Yeah. And his thing was that he's talked to a bunch of developers, he says, and the reason that it's not worth creating a crazy, amazing next like game on the PC because it's...
Nobody can
write. It has to be compatible with the consoles, too, to be successful.
That, and it also, you know, you have to look at a majority of PC users. There's that, you know... 20%, I'd say, that have their PCs constantly at the perfect, you know, upgrade, all their newest chipset as soon as they come out. It's 20% of the community, I'd say. You know, I could be way off. But, you know, you look at a game like Crysis 1 when that first came out, and nobody could run that on the maximum settings when that first came out.
It was crazy.
And so it didn't get a lot of love. It got a lot of, like... love for being the best looking game out there, but I mean,
couple of awards.
Yeah, but what good is your game at being the best looking if nobody can play it? You know, who's going to buy a game they can't play?
And that's it. It doesn't. I don't think when they make games, they don't. I don't. Well, that could be wrong, But I don't think they have in mind, let's make this for the lowest common denominator at the point. Like, you know, hey.
No, I think they do.
They do?
I think when they make their, they go into making the games, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the 360 and the PS3 launch. When, you know, those even actually through the whole sale of those console systems, they still package those with standard definition cables.
But where do they put the bar at then? That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to have a better graphics card than I am or something like that because he can afford it, you know, person A. But how, as a developer, how do I determine what the mass has right now? With Xbox, with PlayStation 4, I can determine that because everybody has the exact same thing.
No.
But so how do I say, hey, everybody has this one minimum in their computer, so let's make the game for this one minimum?
I'm sure they go back, like, they take... You know, they look at what the newest graphics card is, and then they go back, you know, probably 5 generations of each graphics card or something like that. 5 to 10 generations of graphics card.
Kind of seems like an imperfect system.
I'll have to look at a bunch of my... I don't have many physical PC games anymore to see what they go, because it's all digital now. But I'll fish out a couple and see.
And it's been in the digital area. It's been above the, you know, consoles for quite some time right now, of course. You know, you can download games from... all different ages and stuff like that way before the consoles had, but you know, so it's definitely got, it's better. This console war, I don't think it's as big now. It's kind of being overshadowed by the actual console war, the Xbox and PS4. But yeah, you still will get from small little things that we say on the show or little things you might write, you definitely will get some flare-ups because those PC gamers, they're not
That's the thing. The master race, that's what they call themselves. Mm-hmm. And people, if you don't game on a PC, they call you a peasant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would love to, though. I would love to debate back and forth, you know, which one is better, you know, because I mean, that's just hands down. You know, I'm sorry.
We'll have to get that one set up. The my take on it was the PC gamers are hardcore. That's what they do, and that's what they love.
Yeah, they're hardcore.
It's just a certain set of elitism that you get in every kind of industry that I don't see. Even though I play games on PC, you would never know because I'm almost ashamed to tell people I play games on PC because I don't want people to look at me like I'm a dick.
I don't know. I don't get that. Well, because I don't play.
And I think the main people that were, and we asked for it. You know, that was the thing. We totally asked for it.
We poked the hornet's nest.
Yeah. So the main people that were replying, though, belong to a website.
They have a house? That makes it easier to bomb.
Yeah. They have something. It's.
Don't say you got a base that's just out in the open like that.
I could look it up.
Okay. How much time we got left? We got enough time to talk about this Wii?
Say we do a quickie.
Okay, so quickie. Tonight we got to play on the Wii U. We got to switch it up a little and go to hardcore games, quote fingers in there, Call of Duty, Mass Effect 3, and
Tekken Tag 2.
So Tekken is your game, Corey.
Yeah, and I thoroughly dominated you.
Okay. All right.
I just had to get in there because Aaron always wins in the damn games. And finally a game came up where I was able to beat not Aaron, but Aaron and Mark on a team.
If I can recall, Mark Griffin, the last match was
I picked Jack, okay?
Hold on.
Who's been around since Tekken 1, who you should already know the moves since Tekken is your main fighting game. Different.
First of all, Tekken, if anybody has never played the game, has 4 buttons. All right, people. Now, I've never really played a Tekken game outside of the arcade. So not knowing that this only has 4 buttons, it was a shock to me because Street Fighter has 70. And
to clarify something, before Aaron started playing with us, Corey, I believe I was the one doing the dominating on you.
Well, I had to get my stuff together, first of all, because who did I use?
I don't remember, but like I just remembered.
Eddie is totally not the same anymore.
Eddie Gordo, I know him to be a good player.
Eddie Gordo is not as slick as he used to be.
How did it look, everybody, though? At least
graphically,
graphically great.
Looked the same to me as on the 360 and PS3.
And after you're done looking,
I would want to agree, but there was just weird things. Like
there was some weird texture. Like
sometimes I would turn into the Silver Surfer. You know that famous,
that wasn't a move.
That famous DC character.
That wasn't a move. You're gonna get so much hate for that. Excuse me. He's actually a Marvel character made by. But that was—I thought that was a move that you were doing.
No, it happened to me on several characters.
Yeah, there's some really bad. Yeah, there's some of that texture popping stuff. I mean, overall, the graphic quality, like some of the stuff we saw, just if you look at it at a glance, looks the same as the other ones. But when you look at it and, you know, poke at the details, yes. Obviously,
so it's on par with good enough. What's out there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a snob at it. It was still fun.
Okay, yeah. So after you're done looking at the beautiful woman, you want to feel her.
Mm-hmm.
What did it feel like?
That little controller you brought over felt like I could snap it.
We're talking about the Wii Classic controller. Yeah, Wii the regular controller. Wii Classic, not the Wii U Pro controller. So those damn things are too expensive.
But the button setup is very close to... It's close to PlayStation.
It is. The button setup is similar to PlayStation. The big difference is... But the fact that you can't use the thumbsticks...
That's what I was looking for right
no
there.
Thumbstick the clicking.
No thumbstick clicking.
Can you click the thumbsticks on...
The gamepad?
No, the PS4.
Yeah.
Can you do it on the PS3?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it since PS1.
It goes all... Yeah, I was about to say, it goes back to...
The very first DualShock 1.
One thing about PlayStation, even though I talk crap on them a lot, is that their joysticks always feel like beefy. They always feel like it. And that's why I don't remember being able to click them, but... I know they have always been on top of thumbsticks.
So you guys have both played the Tekkens before, though, right? Previous ones?
Yep.
Now, Mark, because I know you're more of a, I'll go out and buy this type of thing. You get joysticks for these type of games?
Yeah, you can get fighting sticks. I actually have fighting sticks, just none for the Wii U.
Okay. But... Well, I was saying, how does that feel as compared to a...
Oh, fighting stick every day of the week.
Fighting stick
every day of the week. Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, just so much more accurate when you can just... I'm trying to say this without sounding...
It's too late. Just go ahead and go. It's too late.
Do you like to grab the stick near the top?
I do like to grab the... Actually, I like to grab it towards the bottom of the shaft.
I bet you do. Corey, how did you like playing with the
nubs,
sticks?
The sticks.
Nah, I don't use those. Are you talking about the fighting sticks?
No,
like,
I'm talking...
Like when you're in the arcade?
I'm just talking about... Because you said when we played another game that you were thumping your...
Yeah, when we played Call of Duty, if I... Like, okay, everybody, pretend like you're holding a controller. And you want to strafe to the right.
This is the interactive portion.
Yeah,
of
this is the interactive portion. And you want to strafe, but you want to look to the left. So you're strafing right and looking left. There's like this collision of thumbs all the time.
That you haven't had that with any
Never had that with another controller.
Well, I mean, the Xbox is offset,
it's
so
offset.
You wouldn't
and
have
I think
that.
That's why, I think that's why Xbox did it that way.
And I just have average-sized hands. I'm not, you know, these aren't giant hot dog fingers or nothing. So I never noticed it if it happened on the PS3 or PS4. I don't recall that.
You know, it's funny. I have pretty big hands, and I've never had that effect on the PlayStation, though. Maybe it's just the way I grip my controllers different.
Did we stack them up side by side to see if the actual Wii Classic controller is actually smaller than the PlayStation?
Oh, it definitely is.
The whole thing felt just kind of cheap. How much do those things retail?
Like 20
bucks. Like 20, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, I would say.
It's a cheap controller.
Because it feels like you could just snap those thumbsticks off, too, at any minute.
So we play the Call of Duty Black Ops 2. We've played that for, you know...
Every system.
Yeah. How did it stack up on this one?
Let's
start with the looks, graphics-wise.
It was on par.
On par?
On par. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Well, I mean, they did come out at E3 and say that's pretty much what our system's going to have is what you have at your current, you know...
Yep. So, I mean, let's kind of almost put that to bed with the Wii U versus the other systems. Is the graphics are on par with the 360 and PS3.
That's true. Yeah, so if you're out there, don't think the Wii U's graphics are terrible.
Or
they're
inferior
not terrible.
Or anything like that. Okay, so here's the difficult one. The controls for Call of Duty.
Awful.
So, yeah, we didn't go into the control layout to try and mess with it at all.
But
we
did. Need to? No, we went for
Tekken
we did,
attempted.
Which is terrible.
It's only like four buttons. It's not like you can really do too much with
that.
Well,
that was weird about Tekken 2. You can't strafe left, or you can't move
the
forward and back.
You can only choose
the,
your characters with a thumbstick.
Yeah.
You cannot play
that
the actual
weird.
Game. But Call of Duty,
they
had a universal button, right? That had you jumped, and you ran, and you ducked.
Oh, yeah.
Left.
Yeah.
It was like one button did everything.
It did your run,
it's
your
way
jump.
Way too much responsibility for one button.
It definitely
crouch,
is. One.
Isn't it your crouch to prone as well?
Yeah, it was too much for, you know, I don't even think they have prone anymore in Call of Duty, do they?
In Black Ops 2,
oh, no, yeah,
they
do.
Did.
They do. They
Black
do.
Black Ops 2, they
You're
do.
Definitely right. We didn't get to do any online.
No, we did, but it was extremely fun, again, with the Wii U. On Black Ops 2, on any other console, can you split the screen three times and fight bots?
I don't think they had.
I don't know.
No,
because
I don't
we
think
never
so.
Tried that because
we're never
we have
in the same room.
Yeah. Exactly.
But with the Wii U, you can definitely split the screen three times and
up to four players.
Up to four and set bots, and we just co-opted a little bit through the one of the multiplayer levels.
It
was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but it still felt like a VGX episode. It was awkward. Like you had thumbsticks clanging at each other, and then the universal button, and then I was throwing grenades when I was trying to throw. I don't know.
Growing pains. I mean, it's like, I'm sure you could get really good at it, but like you said, if you dedicate your life to Wii U Call of Duty and mm-hmm. then you step foot in the arena on a PS4 or an Xbox One, you're just going to get clowned on.
You're going to be like, why doesn't A jump and run out yeah. at the same time?
And you were saying, like, too, like, can you even drop shot?
No. Yeah, like some of the techniques, I don't think you can pull off on the Wii U.
Because I think pretty much around the room, does anybody... I'm not a drop shotter.
Nope.
Are you?
Nope.
I dabble a little, you dabble? But I don't do it too much.
I hate it. And it's one of the easy things to yell at. So maybe that's a blessing?
A bonus?
Really?
You that's don't have to worry about?
Maybe. Bad controls lead to
well, I mean,
less complaining.
Well,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sprinting was too... I don't know. It seemed...
unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even sprint the whole time we played because it was kind of... Well, how did the sprint work? You had to, like...
You just tap the button. Tap. It was a tap. It was kind of like, you know how I think you can do it in Halo where you can set it to either hold or
yeah,
tap.
It was like, yeah, it was like your special ability.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. So was it kind of that.
I guess I could have. But
see, that makes it sound like it was too much of a chore for you to even care about running in that game.
Yeah, and like I told you guys too, in shooters, like running, I'm my own worst enemy. When I start sprinting is when I die.
Because you don't check corners?
Yeah, I don't check corners. I just sprint like an idiot. But if I'm actually forced to just walk around like, you know,
tactically.
Master Chief number 2 or Halo 2. What I call it Master Chief number 2?
Yes,
and I'm like
did.
The biggest Halo fan ever.
Wow. You're on that DC and Marvel kick now, aren't you?
It's infectious.
We played Mass Effect 3. Well, I played
Aaron
Mass
played
Effect
Mass
3.
Effect. I watched.
I played about as much as, if anybody's ever played the demo for Mass Effect, it was exactly what I just played. So that was the demo. Felt no different.
Not
I mean, I'm no different than me playing on the Xbox. It took a little time to get used back to the controls because mm-hmm. it's a wider and it's on that pad. But the only thing that I can feel that I feel kind of left out on is they could have done more with that tablet than just give me the map.
And there might be more features that get added in later.
Yeah.
So we only, like you said, we only played basically what would have been available via demo. So.
Some things are like... I don't know. It just seems like that thing is begging to put some type of mini game on there. I don't know if you guys played Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars.
I dabbled.
On the DS? Did you play it on that
yeah,
one at
that.
Least? When you had to break into a car, you had to unscrew each tiny little screw to open up the panel in the car and then connect the wires to hot wire.
That is work.
That is some
kind of cool.
That's some yeah, but it made me feel like I'm really stealing this car as opposed to just jumping in the car and driving away.
I mm-hmm. think gamers like at their core, or I know at least most of us in this room are like masochistic.
Oh yeah.
Because like a lot of people are raging about the cursing on the sports games.
Uh-huh.
Like if you curse in FIFA or NBA 2K, it'll give you a technical.
Yeah.
And I saw like something, someone was playing FIFA, cursed, and then the manager, you know how the manager will write you emails telling you,
really?
Hey, good job, or we're going to relegate you or whatever. He got an email or from the guy running the club
uh-huh.
saying like, hey, you're a representation of this team. You know, we can't wow. have you acting that way during a game.
But that's immersion.
That's immersion.
Yeah.
To me, mm-hmm. like in like. When I play games, I don't rage and stuff. Typically, I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
So you would do that just because?
No, I'm saying that like if it happens, it's going to be genuine, and I'm going to deserve it, and I'm going to yeah. like that.
Yeah, yeah. Immersion is always number one. You know, if somebody can add it somewhere in there, and this is why we were playing. Well, I think why we were trying out these hardcore games on the Wii U to see how immersive they would be with this tablet in your hand as well. See what we can get that we couldn't get. On the Xbox 360. And I didn't get any extra immersion playing Mass Effect. You know, he has a whole computer on his arm.
Yeah, you should.
That computer should be in my hands.
Right
now.
Off the bat, you should have been able to, instead of having to hit pause and go to your options to see what class you were, it should have been all right
it
there.
It should have been right
you should
in
have
been
my
able
to, hands. You should have had that radial menu right there on your bottom screen. Even your you know,
none
I mean, granted,
stuff.
You were a soldier, so you didn't have any biotic powers,
yeah.
but your biotic power is all right there, so you just tap.
I saw when you press start, though, that radial thing did come up.
Okay, so it just mirrored the TV?
Yeah.
Number one wish list on Fallout 4, you guys just made it pop in my head, but is a smart glass version, PSP version, tablet version, whatever consoles it comes out, but Pip-Boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like you said, that would immerse you more into the game, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you pay extra money for an accessory that would hold it and look like a Pip-Boy?
Wow.
Yes, he would. Yes, honestly. You would look so stupid playing in your living room. What are you doing, Corey? Oh, I'm playing Fallout 4 right now.
Oh, dude, do you guys watch Shark Tank on
occasionally?
No, I've never seen it. I've seen it on SNL.
You get so you understand at least the concept.
Mm-hmm. I do.
There was this one product on this last week. It was like imagine like a circle treadmill. Okay. And you wear these special shoes that magnetize to this thing. So when you walk, it moves, but you're like locked into this round, like around your waist, like a harness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so when you walk, the ground moves, but you're actually walking. And
so it's in game too?
And they partnered it with the Oculus Rift.
No way. Mm.
So like that's always been the thing with to me with Oculus Rift and what do they call it?
Google
Glass. Virtual reality.
Oh, okay.
Is the fact that like even if you got this awesome reality game and you could look around and see it, like I'm gonna wanna walk to investigate something.
There's way too much walking in Fallout.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to fast travel everywhere.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I walked for about 10 minutes.
But we'd all have, like, some big-ass calves.
But that's cool and all, but it seems like it's more restricting. It's taking you back to a first-person shooter, like, Return to Castle Wolfenstein when it was on a old. So you're only really doing as much as you can, little walks and stuff like that. If you want to play a game, if I'm playing that game with that setup and I'm Spider-Man, how am I diving out the way?
Well, I guess it wouldn't work for everything like that, but like it wasn't more like tiptoeing. Like, the dude was sprinting. Like,
he can actually run and stuff like that?
Yeah, he was running. Like, you're in a harness. You're locked in this, and you're not going to fall over, and these shoes things hooked to the ground.
Was it around you, too? Could I make, like, fast stops and turn a corner or something like that?
It was decently sized. Mm. I'd say, I don't know. I can't.
Half a million dollars, probably, just for you to even play that type of thing.
$600, I think, was the retail for it.
$600?
Yeah. Like, not including the Oculus Rift.
Wow.
So you'd have to buy the Oculus Rift separate. But I don't know. I just like knowing things exist and that people are going that way. It worked for a crouch. Like, it showed him playing a shooter, and he crouched down, like, bent his knees, and his character was down. And he stood up and started running for cover.
Wow, that's total immersion there. Yeah. You're inside the game, but I don't know if the world's ready for that just yet.
It would take a lot of like real estate in your living room.
Paraplegics would be up in arms.
Yeah, equal rights.
Quadriplegics would be definitely up. Well, not up in arms. But they'd be up.
Messed up.
I don't even think they'd be up actually.
Honestly, I don't know. Did you ever get around to watching that anime Sword Art Online I told you about?
No, I did not.
No, you still need to get around to watching
Sword
it.
Art.
Sword Art Online.
I'll check it out.
SAO, it's really good. It's SAO. It's kind of dot hack esque, trapped in a game world type thing like that. But I mean, that's kind of the whole thing with theirs was you put on a helmet and basically you lay down in your bed and then virtual reality
puts you in there,
puts you right in there or whatnot and everything like that.
That's the next. Immersion is definitely the next step.
I'm so interested in the Oculus Rift. It's not even funny. I want to try one because it's one of those things you can't understand unless you try it.
But isn't it a PC thing?
No. Well, at this point, yeah. Yes. But actually, the guy that's in charge of Oculus Rift has big goals for it. He wants to bring it cross-platform.
Hmm.
He wants to make it a peripheral for Sony, Microsoft, everything.
The Wii? No, you just want to stop
I don't know.
He's like Sony, Microsoft. Those are the big two, right?
Well, they'll get it.
The Ouya.
We'll get it, and then they'll get
Maybe
it.
Maybe it'll be on the new Donkey Kong game on the Microsoft.
Yeah, because that's exactly what. You can't even immerse yourself in that game just by looking at it.
That's
terrible.
Let's be real. When Oculus Rift does hit the PlayStation and Xbox, Nintendo will get it about 5 years later, if they decide to do it at all. Nintendo is usually about...
They'll make their own, too, as well.
They'll either do their own thing first...
It'll be mushroom-shaped.
Or they'll...
It'll be a giant mushroom hat you put on your head.
Or it'll be, or they'll be 10 years late to the party. That's just kind of Nintendo's thing. They run their own race.
Yeah,
I've said
do.
It before, and,
They'll do it when it makes sense to them.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So. Well, right now we're stuck with the Wii U and overall rating so far because we've played two different type of genres on, I don't even know what we call them genres. We played hardcore and kind of party stuff.
Here's the deal. I have to give it a 5.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to go out of 10. Because, this is only because if I had to rate it as a experience with my friends, I'd give it a 10. I think it's just so fun. It's like board games for our generation. But if I had to say, like, just playing a game by myself, I'd give it a 1.
Still doesn't have that killer app for you.
Compared to the other gaming consoles, at this point, if I had a Wii, it would get less attention than my PS3, which is Aaron could attest to.
Yeah, it's extremely dusty. A doorstop.
So, yeah, I have to settle right there in the middle.
Right there in the middle. 5.
When I have friends over, it's a 10. But when everyone's gone and it's just me sitting alone in my room.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how last generation was with the regular Wii. I mean, I don't think anybody bought a Wii outside of launch purchasers. Nobody bought a Wii really as that main console.
I did.
Didn't you buy yours at launch?
No.
No?
No, I bought mine a year after.
But did you already have your 360?
No. I was in the dark for gaming for a while, people. I literally was in the dark.
I couldn't remember.
For gaming.
I could have swore you had your 360. Bought my first.
Wii system first, and then I played that for a good 9 months, and then it had a baby called the 360. Yeah, what would you? I mean, you've had more experience with the Wii U, mm-hmm. So
Mark
yours
is probably
going to be a little more.
I'm going to tell you, people, don't listen to mine.
Okay, so Mark, shoot us. What we got?
Overall, I'd give it an 8. You know, I put it up there at an 8. It's definitely not a perfect system. It's got its imperfections, but I mean, it's the best system when it comes to bringing a group of people together. Like Corey said, when you have a bunch of people over, it's the best system. For having a group
hands
of people
down.
Over and playing hands mm-hmm. down, there's nothing that can compete with it, you know, other than everybody bringing their DS, which, you know, whoa ho, Nintendo again.
Yeah.
Nintendo is the best at getting that group together and bringing the family together or friends together to play games. Really, the biggest things killing the Wii U right now is software availability.
True.
A lot of third parties are jumping ship because there's not enough unit sales, and it's because Nintendo... system sales are opposite of Xbox and PlayStation. Xbox and PlayStation, they sell based on their name, and they sell, you know, people buy an Xbox or, like, you know, Xbox One and PS4, list right there. People have bought these consoles not for the launch titles. There's nothing launch title worthiness that is really consoles, you know, not for the masses. It's not a console seller, because everything that would be Assassin's Creed, Battlefield, Call of Duty, that's on last gen. You don't have to upgrade to play those.
Mm-hmm.
You buy those because you know what's coming out. Destiny, Titanfall, The Division. Whereas Nintendo, they're on the opposite track. Their games sell their systems. So as soon as they launch that new Zelda that looks gorgeous that they've shown those tech demos for, that's going to sell another 100,000, you know, in a week.
So,
you know,
the big five. Then.
Yeah, it's the big five. As soon as Nintendo releases one from each of their big five, that's when you'll see the console sales pick up.
Well, I'm a split the difference. And I'm probably just going to go 6.5 because mm-hmm. First of all, I'm a Nintendo fan. You know, I love their big five, and I always roll with them. But I couldn't play it by myself. I think I would... I'm too conditioned by the 360
it seems like
already.
Regardless of the fact that, you know, that you could play Wii games by yourself, I just... Why when there's so many better options?
Yeah, like I said, you're already conditioned by the other big two, if you're PlayStation or you're 360. It's your add-on console, I see, just for you and your friends. If you don't have friends, it'll probably get you some friends.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Invite everybody over. Hey, I got a Wii U, guys. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're the new cool kid in school, work, or wherever, you know, the homeless shelter.
That has the house parties.
Exactly. Overall, yeah, 6.5 I think is right in that sweet spot where I still wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Until you see those big five. When your big five start coming out, you'll...
But see, even then, I'm kind of... I don't know.
You're just going to wait for me to buy them and bring them over?
Yeah, I mean...
That's honestly...
That's kind of... But
I'll have Super Mario
next
week.
Like, if I had all the money in the world type of thing, yeah, I'm definitely getting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't know how much love I would give it.
Yeah.
I think my biggest...
With all the money in the world, you'd be too busy...
Doing other stuff, definitely.
Hanging out with Justin Bieber at a Lakers game.
Not a Lakers game.
That's the second Bieber reference.
Yeah. Really? What was the first one?
The awards, People's Choice Awards you made earlier. Awards.
Maybe I should have used Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk has won every single athlete award.
When's the last Tony Hawk game that we've seen?
Shred? Why are you even talking about Tony Hawk? Faded into obscurity.
Hey, so. I haven't played a skateboard game in a while.
I want to see someone make a viral video with Tony Hawk and Sean
White.
Sean White and like all those other guys who like had a one-off or two-off
Matt
video
Hoffman.
Games.
Oh, Matt Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, Matt Hoffman.
He had a half off. Like, nobody played that game. I think I played that game on like the Game Boy Advance and still was bad. That's a terrible, terrible thing. We've covered it all. Yeah. And we still got plenty more time left. No, we're all rolling. Let's wrap up. Is that what the wrap up symbol is? I'm new to the show business stuff, everybody. So
I thought that was keep rolling.
No, that was actually just my. This is two penises.
It's terrible. It's definitely time to wrap this up. But. All right. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, everybody. Video Game Bang Bang. It's two bangs. We're also on Twitter at Video Game Bang. NerdReactor.com. They are our foundation. They are our. I don't know. What's a good word?
The wind beneath our wings.
They're the wind beneath our wings right now. For Corey, Mark, and Aaron, signing off. See you when I see you.
Later.